Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. My name is Emily Palmer, and I am your host and producer of the talk show, Turning Heads, right here on UMFM 101.5. So I just wanted to start off by saying that I hope everybody is staying safe during these uncertain times, and I ultimately just wanted to create another episode to offer a way for people to connect and hopefully provide some positivity during these very challenging times. So, on today's episode, I welcome an old colleague of mine to discuss the complex culture of hockey and his unique timeline of becoming in love with the sport. We then take some time to discuss his recent involvement and development of the firm, Wingman Player Consulting, where he and his team of advisors welcome young athletes to work towards individual goals related to pursuing their own dreams within the sport of hockey. So, stay tuned to hear more from my very special guest, Carson Shields. Welcome, Carson. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, Emily. Yeah, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So just to start, can you just give us a background of like what you're doing right now? What's taking up most of your time?
For sure. Absolutely. So I co-own Wingman Player Consulting, which is an advisory agency based out of Winnipeg. So what we do is we represent hockey players from bantam all the way up to the professional ranks in terms of their hockey affairs, whether that be communicating with their junior teams, giving them feedback on play, marketing them to NCAA teams, WHL teams. Obviously, you have the ice here. Mm-hmm. So, it's a full-time gig, right? We're pretty much on call 24/7. We manage just over 50 guys' affairs.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, again, it's and you know what, it's crazy and it's a privilege as well too. I would say, you know, like to be involved in these guys' lives and you know, it's certainly not based on easy conversations.
Oh my God, right? For sure. Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah. So but again, we love it. We love being in the rinks, we love interacting with players. So you know what, also there's future planning in terms of you know, the school aspect of things. When we meet with a player, it's what are you going to do off ice, what are you going to do on ice, once we commit to a player as well too, unless something happens in terms of a big violation in terms of a team breaking a rule, like with them breaking a rule, a team rule or a Hockey Canada rule, we're committed to them.
Okay, right. Yeah, for sure.
So unlike some other agencies out there, they just have such mass volume that they bring in that, you know, guys on the roller coaster ride and then he's off and
totally,
you know, they're not maybe following up. So again, they do things a certain way and we do things a certain way.
Yeah.
So once we commit to a guy, if he goes and plays in the Western League or he plays junior here and then he goes to U of M after, we're with them, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like a responsibility.
100%.
Always connected.
100%. Yes.
Okay, amazing.
Yes.
So I want to get into that, but first I want to hear more about you.
Kay.
So when did your like love for hockey kind of start?
Fair question. You know what? Again, I am the youngest by 14 years. I was a bit of an afterthought.
Okay.
You know, again, my parents had me when they were 42 and 43.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
Crazy, eh?
Okay.
I don't think that would, you know, well, back then it wasn't.
Yeah,
really,
no, not really heard of. Yeah.
Totally. I think now, maybe more so, it happens. But other than a big head, I think I came out okay. You know what I mean? So there wasn't anything right off the bat. So anyways, no, I, so my siblings were a lot older than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't really have a whole lot in common. That doesn't mean that I didn't have a lot of contact. They were great with me. And, you know, but again, obviously different points in your life. So my parents kind of threw me into everything, right? So I was in Taekwondo, I was in soccer, I was in everything. But, you know, the passion for hockey, much like I don't want to say every because that's, you know, generalizing, but a lot of people, that's where, you know, I really wanted to be. It probably didn't have to be pushed all that much on me. I loved it right away and then went on with that. And my dad was the front runner.
Speaking of your dad, you wrote an article for the Hockey Writers in 2015 called my hockey dad.
Yeah, totally.
So cute. And it was just like explaining the generations of like the love for hockey in your family.
Yeah.
So how was it like growing up with your dad?
It was good. You know, again, intense guy for sure,
yeah.
Right? But you know, you always knew where you stood with him and
right.
My buddies who were coached by him always knew where they stood as well too. And
right.
he talked to you like an adult.
Right. Right? Okay.
He didn't sugarcoat anything and you know, I think I learned a lot of things from him as in terms of being a coach, and that was always doing what you say and saying what you do.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, I and again, obviously, I coached a little bit before we started Wingman, and
right.
I took that with me. Like I don't profess to have an impeccable hockey mind or anything like that.
For sure.
But you know, when it comes to whether you're coaching or whether you're advising or whether you're representing, you got to make sure that you follow through on what you're doing.
Completely.
And,
yeah.
And so yeah, again, my dad, probably he's not the best X's and O's guys, and there was probably a lot of yelling and everything like that. But at the end of the day, guys knew where they stood with him, so I think that was important.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah,
so. It was such a moving article. It was so cute.
Oh,
I know it was a while ago, but it was so nice.
Appreciate that.
And then so moving on from like your childhood, you kind of played a lot of hockey like out of high school, right? Like you traveled across like four provinces, right?
Yeah. So I was lucky enough to to play AAA here, and then play with a lot of good players, right? I'm born in 1988, so there was a lot of guys, whether it be, you know, obviously Jonathan Toews or Dale Weiss or Ryan White, guys that went on to have a lot of success at the pro level. And yeah, you know what, it was always a passion for me. And certainly I was not, again, uberly skilled or anything like that. You know, when you mention guys like that, and I always like to kind of quantify and qualify what I'm saying with that. You know, like everybody kind of has a war story when it comes to hockey. And again, I, you know, I always dreamt of going all the way and everything.
Making it big.
I think everybody does, but you know what? For me, it was the physical aspect was really big. You know, I certainly didn't have hands or anything like that, but I was always a competitor. And
sure.
I always wanted to show up, and my dad always kind of had a rule for me too, as he goes, you know, never let the other team see you hurt.
Okay, interesting.
So,
yeah.
So I always kind of tried to embody that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Again, I loved it.
For sure. Yeah. And so you acquired this little nickname, Suitcase.
You know what? Again, as I moved out of AAA and then into junior, you know what? Some bumps in the road what happened, and you know, I acted out a fair amount, and
that's okay.
My off ice and my on ice play, you know, kind of started to merge into one. And what I mean by that was it was pretty out of control.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
So I wore out my welcome, in a lot of places, and, you know, looking back on it now, and part of the reason why we started Wingman was I probably needed Wingman.
Okay.
If
amazing.
That makes sense.
Yeah. No, for sure.
When I kind of started back on, you know, the path that I am now,
totally.
I had a mentor that said to me, you need to be the type of person that you wish you had when you were younger.
Yeah, 100%.
That makes sense.
It really helps when you're putting things into perspective and like giving advice to younger athletes. Yeah,
totally. So, you know what, to take it back to my story, I was, again, fighting lots off ice, on ice.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I would always have my teammates' backs, and I prided myself on that.
Yeah.
And so again, you know, you, at that point in time with, that's like mid-2000s, fighting was still a big part of the junior hockey game.
Totally. Yeah.
Right. So, you endear yourself very quickly to fans, to coaches and everything like that. But then maybe when they start to see some of the baggage that you're bringing off ice.
Right.
And, you know, things start to come up. Oh, well, he's at the local bar last night. He was doing this. He was doing that.
Yeah. People talk, hey?
Totally.
It's tough being a young athlete, having like a lot of spotlight on you. Like, I don't think people really understand that, like, when you have that much spotlight, that much attention and like expectation to kind of pull through as a teammate, like, it's a lot of pressure for young kids, and I don't think it's recognized as much. So I know you mentioned just before this, you were kind of saying like, I didn't have the body or like the ideal kind of athletic demeanor, I would say. So like, what would you say was like the ideal back then?
Oh, well, yeah. So when I say that, I wasn't probably a natural athlete.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when we look for players, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. You know, they say now that it's not so much a big man's game.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I think in years past, it's, you were always looking for the big bruising player.
Kay.
Right. You can't teach size.
Yes,
size
exactly.
Size is seductive. All
totally.
These things, right? So, you know what? I was taller, younger on. I was 6 feet in grade 9, and I never grew again. So, you know, certainly for the type of role that I was playing, I needed that more of that size, probably.
Yeah,
right?
For
so
sure.
I needed more of that height. So I didn't have that.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And again, you saw some guys out there who, you know, were 6'3" or 6'4", and maybe didn't play as hard. And I would have given anything to have that size.
Completely.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but that's, so again, especially at that point in the game, I really do think that, for better or for worse, that's what the trend was bigger guys, can't teach size. You want the 6'3", you want the 6'2", so right. But that has changed as well.
And that's debilitating for young kids, I think. So it's just like, oh, like I wish I was that bigger. And like, you can work out as much as you want, but like at the end of the day, that's like kind of hard for young kids, hey?
You're bang on. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. And again, you know, they can't control it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a big thing. You know, you look at AAA here, like they have a Bantam draft.
Right. Okay.
So essentially at 15, they're in grade 9. They can be drafted by the Winnipeg Ice.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So again, the Winnipeg Ice are projecting, or the Medicine Hat Tigers or the Vancouver Giants are projecting what that player is going to be like.
Okay.
So a big part of that is the size of the player.
Right.
Right. So again, are there some guys that get overlooked? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
You know, a big part of what we try to manage are those expectations.
And okay, I was going to say, like, so the perspective on that, obviously you've said it's kind of transitioned into like size doesn't actually matter that much. It's just like, what would you say now is like the bigger things that agents are looking for, or like top teams are looking for?
First of all, great question.
Yeah.
Second of all, skating.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like that you sound like a pro. But skating's the biggest thing.
Okay.
As of now, hockey IQ.
Amazing. That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, like you want to know if the player can go end to end, score, great. That's
right.
Awesome. What's going to happen when he's 16 or 17 and playing on a team with 20-year-olds
yeah.
and he's going to have a more limited role?
Interesting.
So does he know where to be on the ice? You know, and a big thing for us is the character
yeah.
aspect of it, right?
For sure.
You know, a lot of the Bantams we take have a letter on their jersey. And, you know, does that always mean they're the best people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily, but it's something, right?
Something
and
to consider for
exactly,
sure.
Exactly. So, you know, and things come up in your life and you know, sometimes guys make decisions that maybe
yeah.
Take them off the track. But again, we try and really pinpoint the skating, the hockey IQ and the character of the player. Everything else, in my opinion, other than the size,
mm-hmm.
can be taught.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that's really admirable. Like it's such a change when you're looking at hockey now. Like I think that's a really great way to be looking at athletes and like who can qualify for like representing a team, I guess.
Totally.
You could say. So in 2014, you received the Manitoba Hero
yeah.
Award. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, and you kind of spoke out a little bit about hazing. What was your major takeaway from that?
Well, it was, you know, again, it's something that I went through and, you know, I battled with for a lot of years. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I came out with it, I was at a tough point in my life. I had made some decisions that, you know, had gotten me into some serious trouble.
Okay.
And I was forced to really look back and peel back the layers of my life and get a hold of some of the stuff that maybe had happened to me. So, you know, again, through the hazing incident, you know, I came out of that very angry.
Okay.
Very angry. Yeah. And you know what? I was able to tie that back to some of my behavior as well, too. And in terms of, you know, I was, I felt like I was exposed. I felt like I was vulnerable at such a young age that I was never going to let that happen again.
Right, right.
Right.
Exactly.
I kind of developed more so of a chip, more so of an armor. And again, I can talk about it differently now being, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm 32 this month, which I can't believe I'm saying that. But,
yeah.
You know, now I look back and I can articulate and I can see that probably scared young kid,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Who, you know what, just wanted to, you know, excel and play hockey and do whatever, but, you know, felt like, okay, I can't really trust people,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to put out this persona that I'm big and then I'm bad and
totally.
That, you know, no one's going to mess with me and that's how I'm going to protect myself, but
yeah.
at the end of the day, it, you know, it almost essentially cost me my life and you know, having to work through addictions and you know, being clean and sober now as well too is something that I'm extremely, extremely proud of. I don't talk about it to a lot of people
yeah.
unless they talk about it with me first.
Totally.
But that's kind of how I've recovered from all of that. And yeah, you know what? It when I moved into the coaching aspect, and I know you and I had kind of talked about
yeah.
it a little bit. I had a Manitoba major junior, so Fort Garry Twins. Lots of guys that go to the school.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So. I put something in place that was, they all had to sign at the beginning of the year, so there would be no rookie party, there'd be no hazing
okay,
on the team. So,
great.
You know, again, people always say, well, what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It happened to you.
Yeah.
How are you going to make sure that, you know, it doesn't happen to the next player? Well, that was my way of doing it.
Completely.
Right? And you know what, again, I don't know what teams are doing out there now. I don't know what hockey organizations are doing out there now necessarily. There's a lot more awareness. Obviously, mental health
yeah.
is more so at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back when I played, it probably wasn't. But again, that was something that I needed to do to kind of put it to bed,
yeah,
and you know, come full circle with it, and then and move on. But again, to say that, you know, that didn't mold me or that wasn't a part of my life would be naive, would be ignorant, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so but at the end of the day, yeah, it's certainly something that that's a hot topic,
yeah,
as well too, with with a lot of people. And I think I shared with you as well too, like, this is probably the most that I've talked about it in a few years.
Yeah.
You know, whenever something comes up, you see different media agencies, like, you know, they'll reach out, hey, do you want to comment? You know what, not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Right, like, yeah. It's you know, you put it to bed and you move on, and you try to be that change you want to see in the world,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And you hope that maybe if there was another kid like myself that went through it, maybe he's with us, and maybe he's able to come to me and say, hey, listen, you know what? I know what happened to you.
Yeah.
This happened to me. Can we break this down? And, you know, again, to me, that makes it all worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Does that make sense? No, yeah. 110%. Okay. Like, I think anything that you've done within the process of, like, dealing with the problem, overcoming it, and like revisiting it sometimes, like, I think when you carry that experience with you and you share it with your athletes, like, you never know who you're gonna like affect. And I think that all the athletes that you come in contact with, like, probably just look up to you so much. At least I do whenever I talk to you about it, and like, I've never gone through a similar experience, but I think like peeling back a layer and starting a conversation, you never know how far that's gonna go. And I think it's really, really admirable, and like, it's incredible, I think. And so with that experience, you set up an email account for athletes to kind of contact you about their athletic experiences, maybe sharing something similar. What did you kind of find was like a common thing that young like athletes were coming forward with?
You know what, a lot of similar situations, right? And that was, again, part of my kind of recovery, if you want to, well,
yeah,
no, my recovery,
sure,
100%.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough. Like, you come out with something like that, and you're in your mid 20s, you're still trying to figure yourself out,
oh,
as well too,
yeah,
right?
For
so
sure.
You know what, I wanted to talk to other people that had gone through it as well,
yeah,
too. Like, you know, it's, I had some older guys that kind of reached out to me and said, hey, listen, you know what, like to talk about this a little bit more,
yeah,
with you, which was cool. But most of it was from younger guys.
Interesting.
Right. And, you know, guys my age, and you know, I had former teammates that kind of reached out to me, and they were like, hey, you know what, Carse, I appreciate what you said. And, you know, I kind of went through something similar, and, you know, I wish you all the best. Right. And I would say that, you know, probably 90% of the feedback was positive. And again, with that being said, you had some guys that didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, for
sure.
Which
again, you know what, I don't hold any resentment. And, you know, I at that point I was doing it because I needed to do it to save my life.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like,
right?
I think it's a really powerful move. And like, again, like, you never know like who's going to come forward and just say like, this changed my life, like, your words changed my,
yeah,
life. And like, it's also just a recovery process for you.
Totally.
And like, there's nothing like, that's something to be proud of. Like,
well,
you taking
that,
the like, being on the podium and being in the spotlight and saying this happened to me, like, that's you deserve that award. 100%.
No, I appreciate that. And again, you know, seeing it now maybe a little bit more, right?
Yeah,
you know,
for
but
sure.
I think the last thing with that was I put my family through a lot as well, too.
Okay. Yeah,
right?
Interesting.
So,
yeah,
you know what, whether it be, you know, late nights them worrying, or, you know, seeing the behavior or whatever it was, I think that was a big thing for me, kind of making maybe a little bit of reconciliation with them as well, too. Not to say that I was ever, you know, ostracized or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, they probably showed me too much love. But I wanted to show them, listen, you know what, this isn't going to be for naught.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to try and help other guys. I'm going to try and do this. So, you know, much like I kind of said earlier with my dad, you know, my dad was a major player behind that as well, too. He was saying, hey, listen, you know what, this happened to you, make sure you help someone else with this.
For sure.
Okay, right.
Absolutely.
You know? So that was, you know, again, saying what you do and doing what you say.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I set up that account. And again, there was a ton of emails. Did they stop eventually? For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and that's fine. And I believe everything happens for a reason, and I'm completely okay with that.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, it takes up a lot of time, right?
Yeah.
You're taking on a lot of people's emotions and everything,
totally,
like that. And certainly I'm not a counselor or or a psychologist or anything like that. So it's wearing. But again, that's what I wanted to do. That's kind of the impact that I wanted to make. And I was able to do it.
Yeah,
which was good.
Absolutely. And
so,
just like, it's in giving people the option to be invited to maybe share an experience or share emotions, because like, for a lot of people, like you said, they just don't want to hear it or they just don't want to put themselves out there. But I think it's a really creative way and a really like amazing way to like let young athletes just be like, okay, this is what happened to me, and just send it out there.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
That's great.
For sure.
So then you moved on to just like kind of taking the coaching position. What kind of made you want to do that?
Well, again, much the same, right? Like, so one of my mentors, Bruce Sorelli, coached me in high school, and he was actually my pre-Cal teacher and my phys ed teacher. Now, you know, he's a very good friend of mine. He invited me to come back and coach junior with him. At this point, I was still trying to figure some things out. You know, I was at a tough spot. But as I was working with him, I really started to see some guys that, you know, were like me maybe, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe going through some stuff that that wasn't ideal at 17, 18, 19, 20. So for me, that's when I said to myself, you know what, I want to be a head coach.
Yeah.
I want to run my own program. And so Bruce, he gave me all the tools I needed to, you know, to be a coach. And I wasn't, again, much like probably my dad, I wasn't the best X's and O's guy.
Okay.
Probably more so rah-rah. But at the end of the day, I was, and it was a good league for me as well, too, because you only practice twice and play twice per week.
Okay.
So like I said, a lot of the guys are here or they're working or
right.
whatever. So
yeah.
You become very involved in their lives.
Yeah.
Like you're writing the recommendation letter to the engineering department,
oh my gosh,
stuff
crazy.
Like that. So
yeah.
it was, for me, it was, okay, I'm going to come back. I'm going to be the type of coach that probably I wish I had. Very hands-on, stern, mm-hmm. direct. But still willing to do whatever I wanted for my players. And you know what, for me, we took I got the head coaching job with the Twins, who were, I think, last place in the league the year before. And we ended up winning, I think it was 22 more games.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah,
that's
so
great.
It was, and again, like it's the Manitoba Major Junior, but the amount of guys that we had on that team and, you know, again, a lot of the guys that went to this and still go to this school, you know, I love them.
Yeah,
right? And
we
had a lot of fun. And, you know, again, I certainly probably was pretty intense at some points and I wanted to win. But I came back to coaching and I wanted to coach because I kind of wanted to rewrite that script for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do love the game and I like giving back and I like being in that context. Yeah, you know what? I loved it. And you know what? Probably a lot of them, like I said, still go to the school. So I don't want to embarrass them or anything like that.
No,
but
that's great.
No, they were a good group. And but yeah, so it was only 2 more years doing that. And then I did some stuff in the summer as well, too, actually coaching Bruce, my mentor's son.
Amazing.
So that was good, too. But again, at one point, you know, I think the blood pressure was getting pretty high with,
yeah.
with some of the close games and
yeah.
you know what, I felt like, probably I had hit my point in that as well too. I wasn't sure how much more I was offering in terms of the skills piece and everything
okay,
like that.
For
like
sure.
There's guys that are out there that, you know, really study that aspect of the game and they're
yeah.
students of the game where
yeah.
again, I had kind of my set ways and.
Well, I think that you did a good job because you won the MJHL Coach of the Year in 2017.
Oh, well, thanks.
That's crazy. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, you know what? Again, it was good. I owe it all to those players.
Yeah.
You know, they bought in, and you know, we went for a run, and it was good. And you know, I certainly wasn't expecting anything like that, but. I was grateful for the opportunity that
totally.
They took, you know, when I was grateful for those kids buying in, those young men buying in. And it's something that not so much the award, but the year I'll always remember. And probably the biggest thing for me is I see them now like they were, you know, I had 95s and
mm-hmm.
96s and those
yeah.
guys on
yeah.
the team.
Yeah.
So now you see them in their careers.
Yeah.
And you're like.
That's
love
incredible.
It is. It's
yeah,
the best.
For sure.
For sure. So, and you know what? You still kind of have some sort of relationship with them. And, you know, when you see them, you just kind of pick up where you left off. And I think that's a big important piece as well, too, for me, like whether it be a kid that I coached or a guy that, you know, I'm advising. If I
mm-hmm.
see him in 10, 15 years and he's at Safeway and, you know, he's with his
yeah.
kid or with his wife or with his significant other, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is. And we run into each other. I want that to be a positive exchange.
Totally. Yeah.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't want him going, oh, you know what? This guy was greasy and he lied to me all the time and, you know, didn't care about me and everything like that. Like, I want the, and again, you can't always control that message or anything like that, but
you can only do what you can to help. So being a coach, like, what did you kind of learn the most, or was your biggest takeaway from your athletes?
Another great question. That everyone's got a story.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you're in that league and you're looking around and you have guys that are on the dean list at this school.
Mm-hmm.
You have guys that are working 9 to 5 already. You have guys that aren't doing anything. You have guys that are trying to piece their life together. You have, you know, relationship issues. You have all types of stuff that as a head coach, and especially I think once they kind of figured out where I came from, they started to, you know, share stuff with me. So my biggest takeaway would be that I don't care where the kid grew up, and I don't care if he's from Kildonan East, if he's from Morris, if he's from Charleswood or wherever.
Right.
There's stuff that goes on in people's life that affects them. And I had an open door policy always with them. And a lot of the time it wasn't hockey related. And again, the biggest thing for me, probably taken away from it as well too, was when guys call you, you know, 2 years after, like there's one guy, and I won't say his name, but I actually cut him. But when I cut him,
really? Okay.
I said to him, I said, listen, you know what? This is what I think of you as a person, first and foremost.
Yeah.
This is what I think you can do as a player. It's not going to be here, but I wish you all the best. And again, so in my mind, I'm going, you walk out of there and you're like, oh, I can't believe I just cut this kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's not ideal. But then 2 years later, you get a text and it's like, hey, Carse, you mind if I use you for a reference?
Right.
Absolutely.
For sure. No
Do
kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that it's kind of like it's such a crazy experience, like having all these kids coming from such different backgrounds coming together to play the one sport. And like you said, like when you're able to peel back a layer to your athletes, you never know what they're going to say to you. And I think that's just like such a beautiful experience. And like, you're going to carry that with you forever. And like even into wingman, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you took the words out of my mouth right there, right? Like that's, I wasn't, you know, a good enough player to go all the way. I wasn't probably a good enough coach to go all the way. But I'm certainly good enough in the role that I am now.
Yeah, that's
great. And that to be with these guys, whether it be playing or whether it be coaching, all of those little pieces or little checks in the timeline prepared me for where I was now.
Totally.
Right. And, you know, again, was it perfect sailing all the time? No, it certainly wasn't. And, you know, you look in the NHL now at you know, coaches that are getting fired all the time and everything
that.
Right. Certainly the game is changing. But you know what? I probably don't belong coaching anymore.
Okay.
And I'm more so in and again, whether that be the analytical side of it or the you know, really the X's and O's side of it, I much prefer this. However, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for those experiences with those boys.
Yeah, for sure.
With and those young men.
Yeah, all those little experiences are just like stepping stones to like where you want to be in the future. And like, you don't even know it at the time.
You don't.
But those experiences are like something to be grateful for. And like having the awareness of just like knowing like I'm not going to be in this position forever, but like just really embracing the experiences and the opportunities that were presented to you that's like making you the person that you are right now.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And again, still far, like I'm not up here. I want to make sure that that's hit home.
Oh, 100%. Like
you know, there's been a lot of mistakes along the way here. But you know, the biggest thing is that I tried to be, you know, consistent with them.
Totally. Right? Yeah. And you did your best.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something to be said for about that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Turning Heads Radio right here on UMFM 101.5. And thank you so much, Carson, for being here today.
Well, thanks again for having me. Thanks for not throwing me out during the break. Appreciate it.
No problem. So I just wanted to get into this firm that you've been involved with, the Wingman Player Consulting.
Yeah.
So can you just like give us an overall like kind of explanation of what this service offers?
For sure. So it's a two-tone approach. There's an agency and there's an advisory group. So we represent players that are playing professional hockey. So that's what falls under the agency group. The advisory is more so for younger players and players that are pursuing like NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens there is it's much more hands-on in terms of you're getting their SAT prepared. You're helping them find out which teams are going to play for prior to going to a school in the States. You're discussing and negotiating the scholarship with the teams. So versus the pro side where it's just your place in the player.
Right. Right.
And, you know, again, at the end of the day, you're available there for the contract negotiation, or if anything comes up in terms of they feel like they're not being treated fairly, all of that.
Right.
But the advisory is younger. It's more in depth. And then versus the agency, which again, it's pro hockey players in a pro environment, and it's actually a busy day for us because they just canceled all the leagues.
Right. Oh my God, it's such an interesting time. That's so crazy.
It is a snapshot in time, which is fascinating. So again, guys will be out of work as of now. So you know, working how that affects them and affects the rest of the salaries for the year and everything like that is something that we're gonna have to kind of tackle in the next couple of days here. So it's but again, we primarily work with Manitoba born players.
Okay.
Not to say that we don't venture out. We've gone to Saskatchewan, we've gone to the States, mm-hmm. but you know, we started Wingman as something for Manitoba born players that maybe weren't getting the exposure that that they thought that they could.
Totally.
So we've had and the fact that we're on campus right now, we've had a lot of experience with the U of M guys here. I watch the Bisons a lot, and we placed three players off that team this year in pro. Last year we took a player who ended up making his AHL debut with the Manitoba Moose. So
amazing.
That was a pretty big step for us. So yeah, again, there's and I know we're tight for time here, but
that's okay.
There's the advisory group,
right?
And then there's the agency. So but in total, it's just over 50 guys.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
so. And so like in your opening kind of explanation of Wingman player consulting, you kind of explain that your responsibilities go far beyond the rink and the gym, and you have this like feet on the ground approach. Can you kind of expand on that?
100%. And again, you really did your homework. shots fired in here. Good.
Oh my
good.
God.
No, I'm happy. Yes. So the feet on the ground and voice on the end of the line. So what we really wanted to cement right from the get-go is that we were going to be in the rinks. We weren't going to do this from a skyscraper in Minneapolis or Vancouver and not have a relationship with the player. And again, the family, right? Like when you have a 15 or 16 year old or 17 year old, their family has to be part of the conversation.
Totally.
We call it the United Front. So what happens is when we meet with the player, I want to meet with the player, the parents, if there's an uncle that's really close with him that wants to be on board, because what we're trying to do is limit the amount of resentments that there are at the end of the day. So what does that mean? That means that you have to get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that means everyone has to be on the same page moving forward.
Totally.
So this is what the kid's goal is. This is what's realistic. This is what mom and dad think. This is what the uncle thinks. So I'll give you an example. So a lot of the times when we go and meet with a player, mom right away will go, oh, you know what? Like, I don't want my baby leaving home at 16, 17, which I totally get.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, you get the dad and the dad's going, oh, you know, he'll go play anywhere, you know, and so we're going, okay, so that's opposite ends. And you can see right away that maybe that communication or there's a breakdown there.
You're lacking.
Yeah. And then the player goes, you know, I just want to play with my friends.
Oh.
So you have three different views. One fear-based, one being very excited, and one being almost very naive.
Totally,
right?
Yeah.
So you have to really sit down and take the time with them to figure out, hey, first of all, your son as of right now isn't going to have an option to go at 16.
Right.
He probably won't have to move that far away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is some of the guys that are a little bit older than him that already played for that team that are from the same area. So he would know players. Like, that's just an example off the top of my head. But again, we narrow the scope. We silence the background noise would be the biggest thing. So with the feet on the ground, you need to follow that up, right? You need to be in the rinks. You need to see them play live. Like, mm-hmm. again, this is the age of, they call it hockey TV, which you can pretty much watch any game in any rink.
Yeah.
If you have a subscription. However, you know what? You get some 16-year-old kid on the camera, which maybe he's not too into the game. You're missing plays or whatever. And as well, if a player's doing everything they can on the ice,
mm-hmm.
you ought to want to be in the stands.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? You know, you have to, and much like I said earlier on, you know, with the coaching, I didn't always know everything right off the bat,
mm-hmm.
but the players don't care about that. Sometimes they care about how much you care.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? So if they're like, okay, it's Friday night, we're playing in Toulon, Manitoba, and it's freezing, it's -40, but my advisor's here.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
No
right?
kidding.
And there's been some, if I... there's been some pretty big moments for us where, you know what, I've thought, wow, like this is what we're supposed to be doing. And a couple times, right, there's been parents that have said, hey, listen, we're going to sign on with you and we're never going to see you again.
Oh,
right.
Okay. You know, like yeah, that's yeah, kind of
their fear based that way. Yeah. Right. And then it was actually Toulon. So I was in there in Toulon and it was an 8 o'clock game on a Wednesday night December and it was freezing.
Yeah.
And I went out there and did I have other stuff to do? For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you know what? You make a commitment to this kid. I know it's a tough game. So I go out there and when I was leaving, I was walking out and the dad kind of yelled at me. He said, hey, he goes, remember what I said when we first signed on? I said, yeah. He goes, well, you proved me wrong pretty much every week. Right. So I thought, wow, okay. You know what? That's big. That's big for us. And that's how it's in this business. It's tough to always qualify and quantify how you're doing.
Totally. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Are the players happy? Yeah. Are they happy because they're doing well? Are they happy because they're getting lots of ice?
Mm-hmm.
Are we helping? Are we complicating things? But when you have someone say something like that to you,
mm-hmm.
it's just fuel for the fire.
Totally. Yeah. And it's just like an element of loyalty that like is actually visible
totally.
Because obviously you have like some firms that are just like, just say it's just like, oh yes, I will definitely be there
totally.
For your son or whatever
yeah.
for your daughter, but like at the end of the day, if you're actually like making an effort to like put it into action
yeah.
that's when like families are like, okay, they're actually gonna do something for my kid and like this is gonna go somewhere
for sure. And you know, to even go further on that
mm-hmm.
at the end of every year we have a banquet.
Okay.
So we bring all the guys together and you know, it's important for us that they know that we care more about them as just players, right? So
right.
we give out a community service award and we give out an academics award. So
oh my god, amazing.
Yeah, all the awards aren't hockey related
totally.
Per se on
yeah.
ice. Like again, we want guys to come to us, leave better players, better people.
Exactly.
So again, that to be able to give out that award, we have to be involved in our lives. We have to know what's
totally.
Going on.
Totally.
Right? Otherwise,
yeah.
you know, out of 50 kids, I don't know what any of them are doing, so
yeah.
how can we do this? So stuff like that's another level of accountability that makes sure that we know and that we're checking in
yeah.
With them on the ice, off the ice, all
yeah.
of that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so one of like your core services that you have within the firm is social media guidance, which I think is super interesting. So obviously we live in a world where technology is just insane.
Yes.
Like it's like anything you can have at the touch of a finger. So what's kind of been your biggest setback with that with or like what have you kind of approached that's fairly common with the athletes?
Great question again.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to today, like there's like you said it best, everyone's in a fishbowl, right? And these
mm-hmm.
these players, whether it be 15, 16, they get online and then all of a sudden you know, they're retweeting things or you know, Snapchat's another killer as well too.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually on a panel at the U of W recently.
Okay.
And
I saw that actually.
Yeah, and there was a guy, his name's Dave, I forget his last name, which is horrible, but he is in charge, and I hope I can talk about U of W in a U of M.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
There's
yeah.
not too much of a rivalry.
Oh, definitely
okay,
not.
Okay, good. So he had a very interesting job, and he was in charge of social media for the athletic department. So as soon as he started talking, and not that I was listening to everybody, but
mm-hmm.
it really perked my ear. And he was saying, he goes, you know what? When we have our athletes come in, we sit them down immediately and we go over the basics. And we go over that, you know, you're not taking pictures in Westman gear.
Right.
Doing this at a party or whatever. And guys do lose, whether it be a spot on the team or money towards their education because
yeah.
of this. And you know, again, we see that from our point of view, but when you have someone like him say it, like he was breaking down and the algorithm, I don't remember, but on Twitter now you can see when someone likes something.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So with him, he's saying, well, there's someone that's, you know, making a racial slur, but
yeah.
somehow it's funny to this athlete, or maybe he knows the person, so he likes
Completely.
It.
Yeah.
He goes, that's enough. That's
yeah.
enough that you're going to be on our radar, and we are going to think twice. So again, with us, we try and screen the player ahead of time.
Interesting.
Actually, so we will follow them on all platforms. Because again, we're active on all platforms, and not that we're monitoring them, but if we see a player that has, you know, two posts,
yeah,
versus a guy that, you know, is posting every 15 minutes, he's supposed
right.
to be in class or
yeah.
you know, he's at the gym and he's on. It's not a defining factor, but it just gives you a little bit more. It's another 15%. It's another 5%
totally.
To the total player, right?
Yeah.
So again, we use that for our screen. Then when we sit down with them, we go, listen, so when I'm, if you're the mother to a to a player here and I'm sitting down and I come in there, I'm coming in prepared just like you've come prepared to this. Probably not as prepared as you, but somewhat. So I come in and I go, listen, you know what? I noticed this on your profile.
Right.
I really like this. I really like how, you know, you look at, clearly you're following the coach's site, which talks about having good character and showing up to the rink on time. But I did have some concerns, with some of this on Instagram or whatever. And again, I come from it from a stance of, listen, buddy, I made every mistake in the book. So I'm not on here on a soapbox saying, hey, listen, you can't do this. You can't do this.
Totally.
What I am going to say is this player lost this, or this player wasn't able to go to this team because of this happened, right? So ultimately you're gonna have to make the call, because your phone isn't going anywhere, social media isn't going anywhere,
exactly,
but you're gonna have to be smarter with it. So and then again, you see the parents, right? The parents just, they're looking at the kid going, hey, listen, you know what, buck up. So again, it's part of that united front, which I mentioned, everything kind of circles back to that. So everyone needs to be on the same page,
right?
And so again, if this rears its head again, we're going to have a talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this time it'll be maybe a bit of a different tone, probably with some more boundaries.
Yeah.
And again, like I said to you, we don't just send a guy off. However, that being said, if someone continues to break the rules and, you know, it's been laid out and you give a guy so many chances, I'm a firm believer that, just like I had to learn pretty much from tough love.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And I think that that's sometimes that that's something that's missing today.
Mm-hmm.
But we demand a certain amount from the players.
Yeah.
And that's just
totally
non-negotiable.
Like, ultimately, that boundary will like not only help like you guys like as a company,
because
they're ultimately they're representing you, right? But like, it's going to help them in the future. If something bad were to happen and it gets like documented all over big platforms on social media, like it's detrimental.
It is.
So I think that's a really good boundary to have in place. I think it's a really great method. Another thing that I noticed of the core value of Wingman Complayer Consulting was life management, like which includes financial well-being. So when kids kind of come into this firm, is it like, how do families kind of afford it, is my kind of question.
Great question. Again, you look at today's game and there's a lot of people that we'll call it elitist.
Okay.
Right. There's, you know, there's people out there who think, oh, you know what, there's just a certain type of demographic that can afford the game.
Yeah.
That life management comes a lot into our pro players, whether they have to get insured in a certain country or the tax services or anything like that. We have a guy for that. And again, it's not an absolute must that, hey, you're with us, you have to go see this guy, this guy. However, at the end of the day, we have to provide resources for these players. And again, they're at subsidized cost for that.
Yeah.
Another one would be Dr. Jason Brooks, who does all the sports psychology for us.
Amazing. That's something that I wanted to talk about
too. So we can hold off or I can expand.
Expand, please.
So Jason is a guy that I've known for about 12 years, and he came up under Dr. Cal Botterill, who, you know, is a huge name in the sports psychology, like worked for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Amazing.
And his son is actually general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. So he's Jason came up under him and has now gone out on his own and is just phenomenal. He works with a lot of hockey players. He also does like SWAT teams.
Interesting.
And he does doctors, like emergency room doctors, and he does UFC fighters as well too. So his kind of standpoint is performance based.
Okay.
However, with that being said, there's a lot of things that get in the way of performance.
Yeah, for sure.
So much like we were talking about mental illness and everything like that. Yeah. So he's really a tool for us that we can say, hey, listen, and you know, again, he gives preferential treatment to our guys, and it's subsidized through us.
Yeah.
But he's able to work with them, and we can say, hey, listen, you know, and obviously there's patient doctor confidentiality and everything like that, and we don't get involved, but we can say, hey, listen, this is a guy we trust.
Yeah.
This is a guy that's helped other guys. He gets what our model is.
Yeah.
And he can really help you. And you know, there's been players that have seen him for, whether it be body language, whether it be not being at their peak performance, and he's been able to turn it around. So, you know, for me, it's, and we say this, and it might sound a little bit cheesy, but it's not always about putting the player with the best program. It's about putting the player with the best people.
Okay. Wow, and that's a great perspective to have.
Yeah. So, again, you know what? There's, you can go to, you know, places that looks like the Taj Mahal, right?
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, you know, are you getting the type of feedback that you need,
mm-hmm.
right? And we always say it, what's good for one player isn't good for another. It's a catered totally. Approach.
Yep.
And you can't just send all your players to, you know, one hockey team or whatever. So when you have a sports psychologist that gets that, understands, hey, listen, you know what, I'm going to have to approach every single player that I see with the, obviously his own mantras and his mm-hmm. own education and everything like that.
Right.
But notice that every player is going to be different is huge for us.
Totally. 100%. Yeah, absolutely. And so having this like psychological kind of core service that you have, why did you and your team find it so important to include that?
Mental health. Yeah. 100%. You know, again, and you and I talked about it as well mm-hmm. too, right? There is stigmas out there and, you know, I would be a prime time example of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I, you know, there was a long time where I didn't want to look at my self and in my early 20s, and you know, you do a lot of stuff to make it harder,
mm-hmm.
right? So whether it be, you know, the Jets or the Moose or the Ice here or U of M or whoever, like it's everything now is maximized when it comes to mental health, and
yeah.
it's such a great thing and it's very easy for us to get on board with, and you need to, right?
Yeah.
So that's just one kind of one facet of it. Like we also sponsor Play for Sven. So it's a 3-on-3 tournament,
Kay.
Which the University of Manitoba Bisons get behind heavily, heavily. And it's actually run by Byron Spriggs is his name.
Okay, yeah.
And so Byron is a former goalie, and now he...
he's a client of yours, right?
He was.
Yeah. Okay.
He's actually done now, but okay. I can't take him off the website because I love the guy so much. You know what I mean? So,
okay, yeah, yeah.
And anyways, but he, so he runs it, and Cam Nault, one of our guys, was best friends with Ben who passed away. So again, aligning ourselves with things like that,
yeah.
I think are very key. And, you know, whether it be Bell Let's Talk or It's Okay Not to Be Okay, all those things,
yeah.
we are 100% behind that. And we will try and help a guy as much as we can, but we need the infrastructure
yeah.
to help. And if there's one thing that we've done that I'm proud of is we've built that infrastructure.
Totally.
Right. We've tried to put people in the right spots, and we've
yeah.
tried to have the process and everything. Like, we have a code of conduct
yeah.
for our guys as
exactly,
well too, right?
Yeah.
Like, that protects us
'kay.
And protects them, right?
Yeah.
You know, I can't be showing up to the rink acting like a hooligan in the stands and then going, who's that? Oh, well, he represents this guy.
Right, exactly.
You know, so it's to protect everyone. And again, to have that infrastructure and to facilitate an environment where guys can come, you know, get sick of me saying this, become better players, become better people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's the ultimate goal, I
yeah.
find. And so in an article that you were featured in for March Hockey, you kind yeah. of explained that, like, we just as a community need to change the culture of hockey. So what did you kind of mean by that?
Fair. So everyone that's involved in the game, in my opinion, whether you're a coach, whether you're a player, whether you're a trainer, whether you're a scout, GM, you have to be aware of what's going on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the past, you know, I've certainly even been guilty with it with teammates. We've missed the mark. And so again, that doesn't mean that you just, oh, you know, he's a hockey player, you know, he's a good old boy, he'll come and talk to me if something's wrong.
Right.
You can't do that. You can't expect players today or players at any point in time to just accept that. You know, we have a lot of players who don't like talking on the phone.
Okay, interesting,
right?
Yeah.
They like to text,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm a big face-to-face guy.
Yeah.
I like, hey, you know, I'm after your game and I see you and it's, hey, Palms, how you doing? You know, how's the game? You know, I thought this was great. This is what
yeah.
you need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for some of the kids, they don't necessarily want to interact like that.
Okay.
It's, hey, I'm in the car ride home right now. What do you think of the game?
Right.
And it blows up. So you do have to speak to them. And so I'll sum all that up in this. We need to speak to people at where they're at
okay.
rather than where we think they should be.
Totally.
So
yeah.
again, when we say, hey, you know, mental health, it's okay not to be okay. Well, what does that mean? There's a 14-year-old that has anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are we going to pull that kid out of the room and have him face to face and go, you need to tell me what's wrong
right,
with you.
Right, right.
The kid shuts down,
yeah.
right? So versus, again, with us, we've had players that, you know, for whatever reason, they're quiet kids.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the feedback that we got in the beginning was, hey, you guys, sometimes they need some time after the game
mm-hmm.
to process it on their own and then they'll reach out.
Interesting.
Right? So again, you need to listen to that.
Yeah, 100%.
Versus, you know, And I would be guilty of this in the beginning as well too. So this is where my professional development comes in, is being at the forefront and being, you know, feet on the ground and being right there outside the dressing room after the game. That isn't for everybody.
Yeah, totally.
So I need to be better.
Exactly. It teaches you something, right?
It does. Yeah. 100%.
You're always learning.
But so again, to take it back to that question, we have guys who are power play guys. We have guys that are penalty kill guys. You have guys that, you know, are defenders, big offense guys. Okay, that's fair, right? Mm-hmm. And we treat them accordingly. But in my opinion as well too, you also need to have an asterisk beside their name if you feel like something is going on.
Yeah, and I think that's like the capacity of the awareness that like you and your team have. Like that's like very rare, I find, at any like, I don't know, like I haven't really heard that much in like athletics and in sports to have a team of advisors or a team of like coaches just like really being on top of their athletes and showing an interest and showing a care in like their everyday life, not just like within the rink in the gym, but like, again, like we talked about, the feet on the ground. So it's just like their whole like wheelhouse of things, right? I guess you could say.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, to sum it up, part of what I say to the parents is when I first meet them is my goal is that your son doesn't turn out like me at 21.
Wow. Okay. That's really powerful.
Yeah. And again, I know what I did and I own that. And, I can see the things that I was doing in other players.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether it be the machismo aspect of it,
right.
or all those things. Right. Yeah. So I could, you know, you look at that and you watch a kid and you go, I know that kid off ice. And you know what? He's a really nice kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he's running around out there and he's calling on the bench and he's doing all these things. And, you know, maybe I see a little bit of myself in that.
Interesting.
So I sit there and I go, what's going on with that kid?
Right.
Right. You know, so, and again, that's in hockey. That's in all sports, right?
Yeah.
Because it's people and it's a human factor.
Yeah.
Right. But again, for me sitting in the stands, watching a hockey game and doing a check mark because a guy had a good back check and doing a check mark because a guy had an offensive zone change, that isn't enough for me.
Totally.
And that will never be enough for me.
Yeah.
It's funny because my dad is such a big influence in my life, and I'm gonna tell you something here. He told me three things when I was a kid, and these three things I bring into Wingman. One of them is, don't let anyone ever say you don't work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anyone ever say that you're cheap, and always be the type of guy that you would want to walk down a back alley with.
Wow.
So that's what he said to me as a kid. So again, when I'm looking at these players, I look at it as the third one going, I have a responsibility to player A. I have a responsibility to, no matter what he's going through right now, I got to be there.
Totally. That's
so
awesome.
That's kind of where that comes from.
That's really great. Yeah. I'm really happy to like hear your whole story and like how you brought your experiences with it into Wingman. I think it's incredibly admirable. And I think it's like so awesome. I could go on for days, but I think that's all the time we have today.
Oh.
But just before we go, can you just like kind of give our listeners like how they can get in contact with you or how they can like explore more of your business?
For sure. So we're active on all the social media platforms, and then wingmanplayerconsulting.com.
Okay.
Again, if you Google us, it'll come up, and you can reach us through our website as well too, or any of the social media. Again, platforms, right? There's our emails up there, everything. So, or you just come in and look for the guys in black pea coats at the rink.
Perfect. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I've already learned so much. Like, it's really awesome to have you.
Well, no, hey, and thank you. I appreciate the invite.
Of course.
Again, like to see how obviously we have a little bit of history in the working world to see where you're at now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's lights out, and I can't wait till couple years from now when I'm listening to the show and you got some actual big names on here than me. I know the first two before me were so you know, it must have been a quiet day here at UMFM.
No.
You're scraping the bottom of the barrel if you're asking me. So no, but honestly, I appreciate being here
Good.
And seeing you. So.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Good, cool.